Welcome to the Core Principles Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you'll enjoy this lively discussion of relevant topics, which we attempt to examine through the lens of unchanging, objective truth. Here is the host of the Core Principles Podcast, Clay Howerton.
Thank you, Suzanne. Today on Core Principles, I'm pleased to welcome a true patriot and a defender of liberty. She's an Army veteran. She's an author, public speaker, podcast host, licensed private investigator, investigative journalist, and a champion of preserving America's Judeo-Christian founding principles. Cheryl Chumley, welcome to Core Principles. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I want our listeners to be able to find your podcast and your books and your articles. Your podcast is called Bold and Blunt, and it's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and all the other streaming platforms, as well as at WashingtonTimes.com. And you also regularly publish articles at the Washington Times, as well as on your Substack, which is at CherylChumley.substack.com. And of course, your books are available through Amazon and other famous booksellers. Are there any other ways that our listeners should be reaching out to follow you for your insights, Cheryl?
Very kind of you. Thank you. I have another website where you can get info on my books. It's just CherylChumley.com, and find me on Twitter at CK Chumley. I really appreciate that. Thanks.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I did notice one of your tweets or X posts this morning that President Donald Trump is not actually deceased. Donald Trump Jr.'s X account was hacked last night, apparently, and he sent out all sorts of funny things. Somebody did on his behalf. Anyway, although you and I, Cheryl Chumley, are meeting virtually now for the first time, we do have some common connections. I was also in the military. I was Air Force. And we're both fans, of course, of the lady who introduced us for this interview, our friend Sandy. You're also connected to an organization that I help support. It's the Fund for American Studies, because you were part of the very first or the prestigious Robert Novak Journalism Fellowship Program. So it's a small world. Do you know, by the way, Roger Rehm, the president of Fund for American Studies?
I've only met him once, I think years and years ago at a function, a fellowship related function. But hey, wow, kudos to you for supporting that, because it's a great program.
It is. I went to the Air Force Academy, and my contact there, Ed Turner, assures me that there are folks from that institution as well that are helped by TFAS, and I think that's great.
Wow. Small world, like you said.
It is. Well, Roger actually helped me get another special guest. He didn't reach out to me to do this, but I learned that it was his influence that caused this to happen. He encouraged Molly Hemingway to come on to Core Principles to talk with me about her book, Rigged, about how the Democrats rigged the 2020 election. And that was a fascinating discussion. And she said, yeah, I'm talking to you because Roger Rehm said it would be a good idea. And I listened to Roger. So that was very kind of him to do.
Yeah. And that was a good book she wrote as well. She's a really good journalist.
Yes. Now, I have observed that true investigative journalism is now being championed primarily by women. I don't know why that is the case, but I think of Cheryl Atkinson, I think of Laura Logan, I think of yourself and Molly and others who are championing this actual investigative journalism. Is that, what should I know about that phenomenon? Why are men abandoning that, and how's that happening?
You know, I never thought of that. I don't have a good answer for you. I was just listening to what you were saying. I was like, yeah, Cheryl Atkinson and Laura Logan. And I really don't have an answer for that. That's very interesting that you noticed that. I sure didn't.
We do have, of course, a lot of male pundits and, you know, influential speakers. You got your Hannity's and your Tucker Carlson's and those guys, but they're not journalists. They are opinion purveyors, and I think valuable. But digging into the facts behind things is also valuable for them and for everybody. Well, anyway, I appreciate your good work, Cheryl. And I want to talk with you today about two different articles that you recently published that seem really, really different, but actually are of a similar theme. They have to do with liberty versus tyranny. And the topics are the New Mexico governor's attempt to overturn the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States and the government's attempts to perpetuate things like mask mandates and other COVID hysteria. So first, regarding the governor of New Mexico, Michelle Lujan Grisham, were you shocked by her proclamation that she was suspending the right to bear arms in Albuquerque, New Mexico?
I wasn't shocked that Democrats have a strategy to do this. I was shocked at just how brash she was in digging down and defending her order, despite the fact that some even, and this was even more shocking to me, really, some in the mainstream media were hitting her hard with questions and asking, well, where is your constitutional right to do that? And I was shocked that David Hogue, you remember David Hogue from that school shooting, and then he came out of that. He was a student at the time. He came out of that viciously anti-Second Amendment, swearing to get guns off the street and really vicious with his rhetoric. Even he tweeted out that he did not support this New Mexico governor's order. And he didn't like it because it came by way of a health emergency order. So I wasn't shocked at a Democrat trying to do that. I was maybe more shocked about some of the backlash from some of the organizations and those with leftist political leanings.
Well, that's a great answer because it shows me that you and I were thinking along the same ways also, because I had two other questions in mind to ask you, and they both stem from what you just said. One of them was that just personally, I saw those reactions, and I try not to be too cynical, but I was a bit skeptical of some of those statements. I think they protest too much. But do you think that Michelle Lujan Grisham was going rogue, or that other Democrats were actually behind her as they tested out this power grab?
Now, that's a great question, right? Because, yeah, well, you know, the fact that she issued that order based on emergency help, right, which is the same thing that we saw that the left used under the coronavirus 3 years to justify seizing individual liberties. I also had questions. Wow, is she going rogue, or this just seems too coincidental? So my guess, my instinct is that she was doing it based on the whisperings of some behind scenes globalist minded interests that want to continue to use the coronavirus lockdowns and the fear and the emergency health orders to launch a coronavirus lockdown part two type of deal, where we again get shut down in our homes based on some sort of fabricated fear.
Well, I promise you, listeners of Core Principles, that Cheryl Chumley and I did not pre-plan this discussion, but I was taking this in the exact same direction, and we will get down that path momentarily. But I want to say a few more things, ask a few more things about Governor Grisham. And one of those, I used to live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. My last Air Force assignment was there, and I did some other things there when I retired from the Air Force. I like Albuquerque, but it has turned, as so many leftist-run places have, a little uncomfortable, a little violent. And obviously, Michelle Lujan Grisham said, oh, it's an epidemic, you know, of violence. That's obviously not because guns exist. That's because leftist policies are like anti-law enforcement and just let anything happen that people want to do, unless they want to say, hey, some conservative thought. Well, Joe Biden has just announced, I think yesterday, that there's going to be a new federal office for gun violence prevention. So I wanted to ask you, Cheryl Chumley, how serious a threat to violate our constitutionally protected rights is this current administration?
Well, they're Barack Obama administration number three, right? The left has been a long time, has been on a long time quest to crumble the Second Amendment and seize guns from lawful owners. So when you look at Joe Biden's announcement, you can't look at it in some sort of rosy, glassed, benign thing that he's doing. Anytime the federal government wants to sort of collaborate with different agencies to collect data on gun owners or to collect data on gun-related statistics as they pertain to law-abiding Second Amendment carriers, we need to be mindful about where that could lead. Because the Democrats are very clever at stripping individuals of their God-given liberties. And with the Second Amendment, we're talking about the God-given liberty to defend self and family. They're very clever at slow walking it and doing it by subtle means, right? They do it with friendly sounding rhetoric and things that are very difficult to oppose without appearing as some sort of radical. So when you talk about creating an office, that sounds benign on surface, but you have to ask yourself, why is this office being created in the first place? The rights to bear arms are citizen rights, God-given individual liberties. And whenever the government wants to intervene with that or interfere with that, you have to wonder if the end game here is to strip liberties from the citizens. And with Joe Biden, of course it is.
Yes, and you mentioned Barack Obama and the fact that he's likely pulling some of the strings on this marionette, mindless puppet Joe Biden. It's a sad reality that Joe Biden's not at full faculty now. Obama had said way back when, I think before we even elected him the first time, that one thing he wanted was a national police force as well funded and equipped as our military. And people just let that sail past them, just like when he said, I want to fundamentally transform this nation, meaning destroy its foundation and make it something not America. They never credited Obama for meaning what he very obviously meant, the clear text meaning of his statements. How terrifying it would be if the leftists got their way, Obama's way, that we had a nationalized police force that was as well-funded and equipped as the military, and it was operating on anti-constitutional premises that citizens don't actually have the right to keep and bear arms. Some people think that the Second Amendment has to do with hunting. That's so ridiculous. Our founders were just getting away from tyranny. They wanted to put a check against tyranny coming back, and they're like, citizens, you are the guard against that. Any comments on Obama's long-term strategies there for how he would transform this nation?
Yes, because I think there are some people that don't understand the significance of what that would bring, right? So when you look at police in the United States, and we've deviated from this, right? So go back maybe 20 years and look at how police used to operate. They were your friendly local protecting force, right? Serve and protect. They were very accessible to the people. I mean, if you had an issue with your cat in the tree, you could call the police and they would help you. So nowadays, police have become a lot more militarized, even at the local level, for various reasons. Some of it because they get all this cast-off equipment from the military. And then since they have the equipment to justify having it, they have to go out and use it for various reasons. But they are still local forces accountable to their local boards, accountable to their local citizens. Barack Obama, by stripping local police from the ability to police communities that serve their actual local needs and creating this big federal force, is basically saying he's creating a military under the control of the federal authorities, only they won't be called military, they'll be called police. And if you look outside of America at some of your dictatorial nations, your communist nations, your socialist nations, that's one of the key things that the leaders there have. They have militaries that are accountable to them, that listen to them and go where they order them.
Even against their own citizens. And keep in mind, listeners, these leftists are the same ones who champion this idea of defunding the police. But what they meant, of course, is defund local police in jurisdictions that we leftists don't have direct control over. All right. Well, the New Mexico governor, of course, as you mentioned, Cheryl Chumley, had called her blatant violation of our rights as a response to, quote, a public health emergency, end quote. And as you pointed out, Cheryl, she didn't make those words up. She had seen it enacted where our liberties were stripped away temporarily, maybe, for a public health emergency. And so surely she was emboldened by those overreaches that we had seen in response to the novel coronavirus. So let's shift into that topic. Have you been surprised, Cheryl, that some governors and the leftists in the federal government are trying to bring COVID hysteria back?
No, not in the least, which is the big reason why I wrote lockdown, to warn people that all that rhetoric about, oh, the pandemic's past, we're going to return to pre-pandemic normalcies, all that is bunk. The pandemic and how the government responded to the pandemic was sort of the testing phase for what's to come. And sadly, the bureaucrats at the global governments, for instance, the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab with his big Great Reset designs, saw with glee how America basically folded to local bureaucrats telling them, close that business, close that school, stay away from other people, put a face mask on, and more importantly for America, where our rights come from God, close the churches. And so when they saw that, when the Democrats saw that with their partners in the global government, you can kind of picture them rubbing their hands in glee and saying, great, America's ready for the next phase, the next wave of the Great Reset. We have another year, year and a half of Joe Biden, who's on board with this Great Reset. He calls it Build Back Better. So let's hurry and rush and bring about the second wave of lockdowns and seizures of individual liberties. So I'm not shocked. I predicted this was going to happen. More importantly, I warned Americans that this is going to happen. And if we don't fight with the smallest things, the face masks, that only messages to the bureaucrats that we won't fight for the larger things, the closing of the churches, the closing of businesses, the entire shuttering of economies.
Yes, and I have a follow-up question regarding people's reaction, but when you mentioned closing churches, I'm in Kentucky. We are a bright red state, but we have an insane leftist governor named Andy Beshear, and we have off-year elections, so this is election year. This November, we're going to hopefully vote for Daniel Cameron to replace him, but I want to remind listeners in Kentucky that Andy Beshear's very first instinct before there were any restrictions was, we need to discourage people from going to church. And the way that Andy Beshear did it was he sent state patrol officers to church parking lots to intimidate anyone who might try to go to those churches, so far as even writing down license plates as if they were going to be in trouble if they went to church. Andy Beshear is a leftist, and Kentucky, you cannot tolerate more of Andy Beshear. Anyway, Cheryl Chumley, you weren't surprised by the government's attempts to put more puppet strings on us, but have you been surprised at how willing some American citizens have been to help them tie the knots on those puppet strings?
I've been surprised by the churches closing. You know that there are American citizens in this country who are only too willing to go along with whatever the government says. They usually vote Democrat. So to answer your question, I wasn't so surprised by a lot of the citizens' willingness to comply. I was shocked and saddened by the church's closing, because that to me was the crumbling of the last line of defense in America. And I don't say this lightly, but our nation was founded on God-given individual liberties, right? But to maintain God-given individual liberties, you have to keep God at the helm. And one way that you show that God is important is by having churches open, by people going to churches. We've already seen in this nation that we've been walking a more and more secularized path for years now. The rise of the nuns, the falling belief in God and so forth. But closing churches, church leaders who close their doors based on a government order, that is something that I never thought I would see in America. And that tells me that we are really in perilous times in terms of keeping intact our liberties and being able to fight off these globalist forces. The thing that also surprised me about some people were the conservatives and patriots, the ones I respect, being willing to go along to get along instead of fighting and say, going to a store that had a sign in a window and said face masks required as a condition of entry. It's the law. Instead of seeing the lie in that, because of course it wasn't the law, it was a government order, and calling out the lie and refusing to participate in the lie, too many in our circle, right, our conservative patriotic circle said, well, I'm just going to put the face mask on because I don't want to fight about it, or I want to make other people feel comfortable, so I don't believe in the power of the face mask, but I'll do it anyway. And so that to me was just, it was abhorrent, the willingness of some who should know better to participate in lies that only led to more and more lies and ultimately more and more seizures of individual liberties.
It's so important. And you've reminded me of at least two prior guests on this program, Core Principles. One, early on, I spoke with Rod Dreher about his book, Live Not by Lies, which listeners, go back and check out that episode if you never heard it. It was in the summer of 2020, but it's also encouraging to me that Rod Dreher and some other supporters are going to hopefully be putting together a mini-series, docu-series about Live Not by Lies. It's such an important principle. And also another guest who recently was on the program who spoke about these things and whose business was shut down because she wouldn't comply, Lindsey Graham, so-called Patriot Barbie. So she has an inspiring testimony as well about how they responded and stood up for liberty. Well, Cheryl Chumley, if someone says to you, hey, it's just a face mask, lighten up, what response do you offer them?
It's not a face mask. There are so many reasons not to wear the face mask and zero reasons to wear the face mask. If you're concerned that the face masks actually do protect you against spreading the virus or contracting the virus yourself, then read the Cochrane report that just came out, right? The gold standard of reporting on medical issues found no significant difference between wearing face masks, not wearing face masks, and even those, much widely cheered N95 face masks, no difference. And so, but more than that, common sense should tell you a virus can pass through cloth. It just doesn't make sense. And then if that doesn't do it for you, the fact is when people wear face masks, we're not talking about surgeons in a clinical setting, right? Where a nurse comes up behind them and ties the face mask on and it's completely clean. And then when he's done, he takes the face mask off. And if he has to go back into the body for more surgical procedures, he puts a new one on. In real life, people don't do that. They're always stuffing them in their pockets, pulling them out. Their noses hang out. There's gaps along their face. What good does the face mask do? But what it does do is it messages to the government that you are compliant, that you are obedient, and that you will do what you're told. It also instills this sort of atmosphere of lingering fear. When you walk down the street and you see one person wearing a face mask, it's easy to dismiss that. It's easy to say, well, that person's just I can't pronounce the word, but that person is just somebody who just feels more comfortable. It's their choice. But when you see the entire community wearing face masks, it has this effect of what's going on here. And it just continues the fright, which then feeds into the ability of the government to exploit that fright and fear to justify even more clampdowns. So many reasons to not wear the face mask, no reasons at all to wear them.
Very important truths in all of that. Remind you listeners, surgical masks do have a function, and Cheryl Chumley described how they're used. They're called surgical masks because they are made only for a sterile environment. They have no benefit in Walmart or out on the street. In the surgical environment, when there is a patient with an open wound, a surgical mask is not intended to be antiviral. It is intended to prevent things coming from the exhalation of the surgeon into the open wound. They have no benefit in response to an airborne virus. We know these things. You know them logically. Cheryl has detailed the ways that it's not about that at all. Well, Cheryl, you live in Virginia, but just in the region of the D.C. swamp, and you see there overwhelmingly Democrats side with the government's propensity to curtail basic liberties, including free speech. Why do they do this? Do you have any insights into why Democrats are so willing to just say whatever the government wants must be right?
I think, honestly, not to just blanket, you know, paint them with a wide brush, but by and large, it seems to me the Democrat Party attracts people who are driven by emotion and run on emotion rather than critical thinking. Because very rarely do they ponder the consequences of their actions or look further down the road than the immediate, urgent need. And then they're not grounded in the principles of God-given individual liberties. They don't understand, or they don't want to believe in God, and they're rebelling against God. So they refuse to understand the beauty and just the freedom of believing that your rights as an individual come from a creator, and that government is there, whether we're talking the president, a teacher, a police officer, or what have you. The government is just a servant of the people. And so I think the Democrat Party attracts people like that, and it makes it much easier for party leaders to control their masses.
All right. Well, as we wrap up, the last question I had in mind to ask you has to do with optimism. But before I get to it, I wonder if we might lead into it, if I could ask you a short series of prediction, speculative questions. Would you be up for that?
Sure. And if I don't know, I'm just going to say I don't know, though.
Right. Of course, these are not knowable. They're just guesses. But you will make educated guesses based on your work and the things that you do and the people that you know and interact with. So the first of these speculative questions, for which there's no accountability, just a guess, will Donald Trump be removed from any of the state ballots in the 2024 election, as Democrats are trying to do?
No.
No. Will any of the cases against President Trump be dropped, as I opine they all should be?
Well, they all should be. I don't think they all will be, but I do think, I think maybe two or three will be.
Will Joe Biden be the Democrat nominee in 2024?
Yes, barring any even more serious health issue that makes it so he can't even get out of bed in the morning.
And finally, Dick Morris was on this program talking about his book, The Return. He opines that Donald Trump will return to office. Cheryl Chumley, will Donald Trump return to the office of President of the United States?
Yes. And Yay. There's a lot of hope wound up with that answer.
Yes, I have the same hope. And, we're not alone. And wise people have good reasons to think so. All right. Well, this last question, as I mentioned, is about optimism. Given the things that you investigate and the creeping tyranny that leftists are always trying to advance, are you, Cheryl Chumley, optimistic that Americans will defend liberty against tyranny and that we will preserve this nation as the land of the free?
That's a really good question. It changes. I'm gonna give it a solid 50-50. You know, it really is right down the middle. And the reason I hesitate is because that very question is what I wrestle with every day. My optimism comes from God, right? Already won the battle. Everything that happens here is just kind of the little whack-a-mole battles until the final war here. But there are too many in America who don't believe in God anymore and don't know how to apply godly principles to what's going on in culture and politics and society. So they're basically not fighting the right fight. So I got to say, I'm 50-50 optimistic on the hope of America's liberties.
All right. But as we do know, God wins. That's the victory is won. Listeners, I know that you're keen on that truth. Well, thank you so much for being my guest on Core Principles, Cheryl Chumley. Listeners, find Cheryl Chumley on Bold and Blunt podcast, as well as at the Washington Times website, where you find her articles and that podcast, as well as at CherylChumley.substack.com and CherylChumley.com. Thanks again for being my guest, and God bless you, Cheryl.
Thank you. God bless you as well.
Core Principles podcast is produced in Paducah, Kentucky by Real Productions. Music is by Late July. L-E-I-G-H-T July. You can find our music on all streaming services or at latejuly.com. Thank you for joining us today for this episode of the Core Principles Podcast. Please visit core.buzzsprout.com for more information, and please share with your friends. We look forward to visiting with you again on our next episode.